Proverbs 25 this evening for a short moment. Short moment. You love it when I say that, don't you? My wife does. She doesn't believe it, but she loves it. In 31 years of ministry with me, beside me, my wife standing with me, sometimes standing with me, sometimes her back's turned, but she had to do something yesterday at that wedding that a number of you have commented about. So if you weren't there, you kind of missed out on it, but some people thought it was pretty neat. So it may happen more often, I don't know. But she had to walk in with me to the beginning of the wedding, or at the beginning of the wedding, and then she came up, her and Sister Arnett. Brother Arnett was officiating, and our wives came up for the family prayer to be with us, and then we walked out together too. And some of you were thinking that maybe I would do a dip halfway back the aisle, but do what? Yeah, that wasn't going to happen. Yeah. But it was kind of neat, though, to have Brother Arnett and myself and our spouse is right there walking in and out with us. It was kind of neat. So you just never know different ideas with weddings, what people come up with. And I do want to mention, I probably ought to wait till Kyle and Ann are here to say this, but you all can tell them. None of you saw this. But as the congregation was singing that song at the beginning, near the beginning of the service, the sound lady was back there with her glasses off, wiping tears. Ann's up here on the platform with her hand raised, different ones worshiping, and I happened to see the lady in the sound booth back there with her glasses off, and she was just dabbing at her eyes and wiping her eyes for even a while afterwards before she got her glasses back on. But we appreciate the presence of the Lord in those moments, those special divine moments. Praise God. Would you bow your head with me for a moment this evening as we prepare to look into His Word tonight? Father, we thank You for Your presence. Thank You for the songs that we've sung, rejoicing and giving praise. Thank You, Lord, for the reminder that You're coming back and causing us to anticipate even greater that time of seeing Jesus face to face. Thank You, Lord, for Calvary. Thank You for the price that You paid. As we look into the Word of God this evening on this particular subject, I pray for Your divine touch, both to speaker as well as to the hearer. Give us the strength that we need in the midst of our weakness, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned this morning that it was a phrase that caught my attention that I've been thinking about and working on, and here it is again tonight, another phrase completely different from this morning. This one this evening is one that I have acted out in times past. I have had to intentionally do, and sometimes it was easy to do. There wasn't any intentionality about it. The subject or the phrase that I'm referring to is heap coals of fire on his head. Proverbs 25, verse 21, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. He said, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he, your enemy, is thirsty, give him water to drink, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? An interesting thought. Paul repeats this in Romans chapter 12. Therefore, in verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Paul immediately follows that with an additional plug within the confines of this phrase, this special thought. He said, be not overcome of evil, Or do not let yourself be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow. Do not let yourself be overcome by evil, but overcome or master evil with good. What does it mean to heap coals of fire on someone's head? Why did he pick out specifically the proverb writer and then the repeat in the book of Romans specifically and only say if your enemy is hungry or thirsty? We could change the wording there just a little bit without doing any disrespect or harm to the scripture. If your enemy is in need, we have the opportunity to meet that need. He's saying that we should do that. What does it mean? Well, perhaps there's two primary interpretations. Maybe you can think of more. Maybe you can find more. Two primary interpretations that I want to quickly look at this evening. The first one is that your kindness to an enemy awakens that person's conscience. Maybe that's the most widely accepted understanding or view of this particular thought and passage, that your kindness awakens that other person's conscience. Now, when you think of coals of fire, you're probably thinking of some sort of punishment. Surely coals of fire would be punishment that you are to inflict on somebody else. But that is not at all what they're talking about. Some people would reference the idea that when the Old Testament people or people of history would carry fire from one place to another, they would carry coals of fire in some kind of a wrapping on their head. It's hard to understand and transfer that particular thought over to the context of these passages, of these verses. But it was something that was not really an inflicting of punishment, but it was simply carrying and taking that fire over. But here in this passage, what we see is that God is not wanting us to inflict punishment, but he's wanting us to give a blessing when the enemy wants to give a cursing. So it's not a punishment that we're inflicting, but rather it's an unexpected kindness that causes that offender to feel the burning conviction of his conscience or of her conscience. Instead of returning evil for evil, there is the response that comes of giving coals of fire on their head. It's a response of grace. I think that's well fitting within the confines and the context of the New Testament and Jesus saying, love your enemies, do good to them who hurt you or despise you or bring about all manner of evil against you. I think that's all within the context of the New Testament spirit even. And it's the offender to feel a burning conviction of their conscience, returning not evil for evil, but responding with grace. That gracious response may lead that person to a sense of shame, a reality of repentance, and even for the final reconciliation of a relationship. Now, what is that? How does that go? What does it mean? How far do we go with that? You know, if somebody spreads lies about you, well, that can be really intense. Changing the community's perception of somebody through lies, and that's hurtful, that's painful. That is very, very difficult to deal with. Instead of retaliating, perhaps there's an opportunity for you to help them or for me to help them when they are in need. Because your kindness then forces them to confront the ugliness of their actions. There's an individual that lives in Martin County, Indiana, and
And he has a tendency to talk to me, seems like every time he sees me, and every time that he sees me that he talks to me, he's got something negative to say to me about me. And I've asked him before, why do you keep coming and sitting down to talk with me when it's apparent that you don't even like me? And it's just over and over again. Well, in these storms that we had in June, a great big tree fell across his driveway, and it was going to cost him $600 to have it removed. Well, that's a good bit of money, I think, for anybody to have to pay someone else just to remove a tree out of their driveway. And I had intentions of getting in there to do that for him. Somebody beat me to it. I don't know. I hope he didn't have to pay for it, but somebody got in there and removed it out of the driveway for him. And why would anybody want to do that? Cutting remarks, negative remarks, over and over again. Well, I believe that a person would want to do that simply because that's what God's wanting us to do. That there's something about the reality of returning the negative back to them as a positive or as a blessing to them, a kindness that can force them to confront the ugliness of their own actions. Now, I don't expect anything to change. If I would have been able to be the one to remove that out of his way, I really wouldn't expect any change in his behavior, because I found him along the road with a flat tire before and helped him change or changed the tire for him on that vehicle, and it didn't change his attitude or his reactions to me. But you know, the Bible doesn't say if they don't respond favorably, stop doing it. He just simply said if your enemy is hungry, if your enemy is thirsty, and so we find that the most widely accepted view of that phrase is that our kindness is to awaken the person's conscience. It's not up to me to see that that happens. It's just simply up to me to respond with grace in the midst of the negative. The burning is an internal burning. Their conscience is awakened, heaping coals of fire. Another interpretation of it is that your kindness leaves the judgment to God. Or another part of it, your kindness leaves the judgment to God. Some people would understand the phrase as meaning that if a person rejects genuine kindness, then they become more accountable before God. That your kindness removes any excuse that they might have had. That the coals of fire then represent divine judgment if they continue in rebellion. I don't know. It's not a command to be kind so that someone will suffer greater judgment. I don't think that that's really what the Bible's wanting us to do, cause greater judgment. It's an attempt to win them. I think that really what Paul is saying that is exactly the opposite of that, that we are to show love because Christ commands love. That is a command. Love them. Over and over again, we find that in the New Testament passages. And we also find that in the midst of us loving them, we are leaving, we are giving. I hate to say that way. That's a misword there. We are allowing God to be God and Him be the judge in the midst of it. We are leaving the justice in His hands. You see, Paul even recognizes that in Romans 12:19. He said, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Avenge not yourself. Well, that's a hard one to do. You think? A very difficult one to do. What does it really mean for us in today's world with shoe leather on the ground? Well, the command here is not to make your enemy miserable by being nice. That's not the command. The command is to refuse revenge, meet genuine needs, leave the judgment to God, let your kindness become an instrument God can use to soften the hardened heart. Well, wait a minute, I kind of like the idea of making the enemy miserable. That's not what he's saying. His command is, let me rephrase it or re-say it, his command is to refuse revenge, meet genuine needs, leave judgment to God, let your kindness become an instrument God can use to soften the hardened heart. You see, that fits perfectly with the flow of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse number 14, what does he say? He's still in the confines of the context here. He says in verse number 14 of Romans 12, bless them which persecute you. Verse number 17, he said, recompense to no man evil for evil. In verse 19, he said, avenge not yourselves. In verse 20, he said, if your enemy hungry, feed him. If your enemy's thirsty, give him to drink. In verse 21, he said, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. I believe it's something for us to consider. The overarching message here is that Christian love is stronger than retaliation. Christian love is stronger than retaliation. When believers respond to hostility with Christ-like kindness, they refuse to let evil dictate their behavior and instead allow God to work through both their witness and his justice. Heap coals of fire. Do kindness. Do good things to somebody that's hurt you or is hurting you. Do something good for Christ and give grace like Christ. Would you stand with me tonight? Trust you have a good week this week. And if somebody does something, heap coals of fire on them. Bless them with some kindness, grace. God help me. I certainly can use his help as well. Amen. Janae, would you dismiss us in prayer?